This is the last Sunday that we're going to be dealing with the topic of prayer. For those who have been counting or thinking, man, haven't we had a lot on prayer? Yes, we have. In fact, we started back in September. We've gone September, October, now November. And then next week, we start with Advent. Well, you know, over the past 3 months, we've been dealing a lot with prayer. We've talked about answered and unanswered prayer. We've talked about the Lord's Prayer, the Prayer of Jabez. We've had several Sundays on Psalm 91, which is a prayer of protection. Psalm 100, which is a prayer on thanksgiving. Paul's prayer in the Ephesians. We've even talked about when bad things happen to good people. And today, our final sermon is on prayer tools. So let's start today's sermon with a few questions. First of all, how many of you use the electronic calendar that's on your phone? Raise your hand if you would. I've just been learning how to do this. My son over here could tell you how much of an expert in technology I am. And he, oh, yeah. No. Not at all. How many of you use still the paper calendars? You write it down? Okay. How many use both? I did that for quite a while because I didn't trust this thing. I knew at some point in time the battery's going to go out and everything's going to be gone. But now I'm a bit more trusting. How many of you use your spouse to keep track of where you're supposed to be? I do that a lot. Cheryl knows how much I use her on that. And how many just try to memorize your calendar? I used to do that a lot when I was younger. And as I'm getting older, I'm thinking, that's really not a smart move on my part. So, how many of you keep an electronic log or handwritten journal of prayer concerns? Okay, we have a few. How many of you use Sarah through the emails that she sends out, the refrigerator news, or use Carolyn at the women's Bible study, or use Dave Bell at the men's Bible study? How many of you use them? Yeah. Well, you know, we all have different ways of doing things and how to keep track of things in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as they can help you. But the one area that I think that we need probably to work on more than anything else, and that is keeping track of our prayer concerns. And really making sure that when we say to someone, we're going to pray for you, that that's exactly what we do. Because too often, it's lip service more than it is actually doing the praying. I have to tell you something with this. When I was a superintendent years ago, I'm doing a teacher's in-service, okay? And I have over 100 teachers in front of me and about another 50 or so aides who are sitting out there. And I have my phone. Now, I'm just learning how to use it. And all at once, it starts ringing. Now, I'm in front of all these people, and my phone is ringing. It's a message from Cheryl. She had something that she had to tell me about, and I said, yeah, okay, yeah. And I toss my phone over to the person who is sitting over there to just grab it and smother it or something. But yeah, phones are good, and then there are other times. Well, a book that we really liked, and that's On the Praying Life. The author is Paul Miller. He once asked a large audience of 1,000 people, how many of you record dentists and doctor's appointments and other obligations? And he had like 90 to 95% raise their hands. He asked the same audience, how many of you record your prayer concerns? They got 5, maybe 10% on that. And when Paul Miller asked, why is that the case? Someone said, well, you know, if I miss my dentist appointment or doctor's appointment, I have to pay. And I don't want to pay for something if I'm not going to be there for it. In essence, the obvious implication is, if you forget to pray, does God give you an invoice that says you owe so much for not praying for that person? Or if you don't pray and no one notices, well, it must not be that important. The bottom line is, if we don't write down our prayer requests because we don't take prayer seriously, we don't necessarily think that it works. You know, the Apostle Paul must have had an extensive prayer list. Can you imagine all the churches that he formed, all the leaders that he developed, even prison guards he prayed for? This would help maintain and strengthen the sense of faith with all the saints. This is what he did. This is what he felt that he needed to do, was to keep people on track with their prayer life with God. I personally find that when I use some type of written system for prayer concerns, I am less likely to forget it. Because as I get older, I forget more and more. In addition, it tunes my heart, and I'm bolder to address the person and check to see how things are going. Follow-up for continued prayer or an opportunity to celebrate, even an answered prayer, occurs. Now, let's look at a couple things right now. First of all, with prayer, we're following the Spirit. We have to have the Spirit of God within us to also talk to our Lord. It's a two-way street. And the second thing is organizing and actually doing the actual act of prayer. How many of you have seen the Christian movie War Room? By any chance? Okay. If you haven't, that is an excellent, excellent movie about individual prayer life that maybe we can do in January after Christmas is over, because I think it would be a great movie for our congregation to see. We're going to talk about some tools this morning. Now, we all work with tools. Some of us do a better job with tools than others. I'll certainly admit that. I was working on a pipe for our kitchen sink and nearly knocked myself silly with a pipe wrench once. That wasn't a lot of fun. But hammers, saws, chisels, I'm always amazed by people who can do such a great job with tools. I'm just not one of those. Or in the kitchen, watching our daughter-in-law the other day in the kitchen. And she was getting all the tools around, getting all the food around, because she was making Thanksgiving meal, which she did a great job. But it was fun to watch someone else doing it. You know, I just sat there and I just kept getting so tired watching all that work being done. Supervised, yes, I was great at doing that. But you know, we do have tools in just about everything that we do. And even in prayer, we have tools. How many people use prayer cards? Does anybody use prayer cards at all? Well, this was something that I found really interesting to do. It's just an index card, okay, simple index card. But what you do with it, you put the name of the person at the top and what it is that you're going to pray for them about. And then you add a scripture below that. Because what you're doing is you're praying through the scripture for them. And just to give an example, I'm going to give myself as an example. I have down here Paul. I have chronic illnesses. Okay, I have type 2 diabetes and I have high blood pressure. I have a bum knee on top of it. But the scripture that I use is Matthew 26, verse 39. And that states, going a little further, Jesus fell down with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And what I do is, as I see things changing, I put down a date and I put down what it is that I've seen, whether it be good or bad. And you have several cards where you have individuals, and what you can do is you put them together. For example, if you have a number of people who have an accident or an illness, financial concerns, behavioral issues, you put them in groupings because you are praying over them. And you're using this scripture to pray for them. And you could put down what you're seeing, and that way, when you see that person the next time, you have something to talk with them about. So that's using the index cards. When we are up in Alaska, where there's only Eskimos, snow, which they had a blizzard this past weekend, and I'm certainly glad we're not there. But there's a lot of times you're not remembering people. You're not remembering issues. You're not thinking about scripture. And what Cheryl and I did, because we didn't want to forget about people back home, first of all, we had pictures of Dad and Mom, Amy and Brian, the rest of our children. We had a picture of Pastor Val from Pleasant Chapel, church members. And then under each one on this big poster, we put down, what issue do we know that they're concerned about? And we wrote that down. And what scripture did we feel was helpful for them? And a lot of times, as we would just pass through the living room where it was posted, we would just stop for a little bit and pray for our people. Because sometimes, when you're so far away, you forget. So that was an idea that we used for ourselves. So we had a poster, or we could use prayer cards. And you know what? You think sometimes, how good does prayer really work. You know, we've been here at Lincolnshire now for 7 months. And we have seen a number of different situations that have occurred that have needed prayer. And you know what's been so amazing is how God has worked with individuals. People that I know that we talked with early on when we first came about concerns they have. And how important prayer has been, how it has helped them throughout the days. That's what's wonderful. That's what's wonderful with prayer. And you know, for some people, instead of doing posters or prayer cards, some put a prayer list on their phone. Or they have just a prayer list that they put on a piece of paper. What's the advantage of a prayer list versus prayer cards? Prayer lists become messy. Now, I'm a person who loves lists. I'm the man of lists, as my son shakes his head. But I also find out, too, that you can only scrunch in there so much, because if you list all these people, then you start trying to put down thoughts or ideas. It's hard to do. A prayer card keeps one name or one issue in front of me at a time. And as I pray, I'm more focused and I'm less distracted by list. And I can group these cards together, as I mentioned earlier. And by placing a scripture on the card, I am praying through God's word. Now you might say, well, where am I going to find scriptures for all these different things? Cheryl and I have gone to Christian bookstores, and we have found little books about this thin, and has different categories and scriptures that go with it. Or you can look in the back of your Bible for the commentary and the listing of topics in the back, and just looking over scripture. And it's not bad to go back through and read a number of scriptures, because you're going to find that there's one that pops right in front of you and says, this is the one for this person. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Grouping cards together that share a common factor is a benefit. For example, take the cards that entail embittered relationships. Paul Miller, the author of the book that I've been referring to, shares about a man at his workplace, not at his church, that simply did not like him. None of us have any situation like that. Correct. They didn't like the way he dressed. They didn't like the way he talked. This guy didn't like the way Paul Miller walked. There was nothing that he could do that would ingratiate himself to the other person. And it was a rather regular routine to be insulted by this person, or have his ideas ignored or scoffed at by this other man. Miller began to accept the man's rancor as just something to be accepted. Just like the sky is blue, the grass is green, he's going to insult me, it's going to happen. However, after a time, Miller realized that he had not done something which he normally would. And that was to pray for the man. He did not pray for him. So he began to. He put on an index card. He wrote the man's name, and we're going to say it's Bob. Not you, Bob, but a Bob. And he applied 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, that the man would like for him to have a gentle and kind spirit. And then Miller waited. Now, do our prayers always instantaneously, are they granted? Oh, heavens no. Within a year, though, the man fell ill, and Miller was able to serve him. A second illness came along for the same guy, and Miller was able to assist. Bob's attitude towards Miller did change. The attitude changed. Now take a minute and think about relationships that you have had change due to either prayer or consistent acts of kindness. Isn't it wonderful when those attitudes change, when there is an attitude adjustment? And isn't it wonderful when prayer was the reason behind it? You know, following the Spirit often does not allow for methodological procedures as recording a prayer concern. After all, the Spirit is spontaneous. So if we are following the Spirit, an instant prayer or discussion of concerns will happen when we are not prepared to record it. Still, when we have time to review the day and align our priorities or activities for the next day, taking a few minutes to record the blessings and concerns does exactly that, helps align our prayer lives. Let me give you an example. One day, I'm driving home from school, and I was at Lakeland at the time as a counselor. I'm driving down US 20, and normally I would turn down 327 and go towards Hudson. That's where our house was at the time. But I felt this urging, I felt this voice saying, go straight. Go straight. That's not the way I go. I turn right here. Go straight. I did. And after about a quarter of a mile, I saw a car that was off to the side of the road, and I saw a teacher that I worked with. She was in the car. She had her face down in the steering wheel. I could tell that there was something wrong. So I pulled up in front, and I went back, and I talked with her. I said, is there something that I can do for you? And she just started crying. I said, what's wrong? This was an animal lover, a true animal lover. A dog had come out. She had hit the dog, and she could feel that she was dragging that dog underneath the car. She said, I can't go any further until I can have the dog pulled out. She says, I don't want to hurt that dog any more than what I have. So I got down underneath, and I could see that the dog was dead. And I pulled the dog out and put the dog over in the ditch. And it was like a big weight came off of her shoulders. She says, I know I can't do anything for that dog, but I know I don't want to hurt that dog anymore. And she said, thank you so much. You know, there are times when God enters our lives, and sometimes we say, no, I just don't want to bother with it right now. But you know what? You can be a blessing for somebody else just by listening to that still, small voice that's in your head. because God is asking you to do something for somebody. It's amazing how God works. Well, there are different types of prayers. One type is the intercessory prayer, which my dad did this morning. These are prayers that ask God to intercede in our lives, our communities, and the life of our world. Oftentimes, we do not pray, or we feel that we do not pray effectively because of some uncertainty. Does the ill person need patience? Do they need a miracle cure? God, I don't know what they need, but I just know that they need something at this time. Regardless, we can pray knowing that God knows the hearts and the situations for each of these individuals. Hold that individual, that world situation, or that family as an image in your mind. Cover them with your prayer, stating that God hold them in his hand and his heart. There are body and musical prayers. Sometimes we call them breath prayers too. They can be breathed softly as one exercises. For example, imagine you're stretching in the morning and that you're doing the Lord's Prayer. Each line has a separate movement as you're praying. Likewise, you can hum a favorite tune or hear a favorite song that you focus those with special needs as a focus of triumph or care, singing or stretching with prayer on your mind. And sometimes you can't get that song out of your mind. Have you ever had that? You can be humming or singing that song all throughout the day, and that's your prayer to God throughout the day. There are centering prayers. They are for your own personal balance. In a centering prayer, we are not making requests, and we are not singing praises. We are simply being silent. A centering prayer can occur before or after an intercessory or a body music prayer. It simply is silence, acknowledging God to hear us and to allow a moment of silence so that we can hear God. Too often, we continually talk, but we don't let God talk back with us. There are prayers of gratitude. These are said to be the counterpart to God's grace. As we receive grace, we are grateful for the goodness that God bestows to us. Gratitude prayers change our attitudes, often our own. You know, prayer is more than a mechanism to speak to God. It is a way to draw close to him and to be more focused on those around us and to be more centered in our own souls. By considering different tools or ways to approach the throne of grace, we keep prayer fresh in our lives. A change in routine is always refreshing. We find new ways to open ourselves to God's Spirit, allowing God to work new mindfulness in our existence. Yet, even more importantly, our prayers do matter. Intentionally praying for someone is a gift of love. One thing that my dad does, and he does this every time we're at his house or when we see him, at the very end when he knows that we're leaving, Dad says to us, "We'll keep you in our prayers." That means so much to all of us. We'll keep you in our prayers. One other tool that I didn't mention that I use personally myself is that of doing a journal. I like to do a journal, putting down different individuals and what's happening in their lives and praying over them. A journal for me is my best route to go, although I've certainly done the others as well. Well, let's listen to some scriptures on prayer. 1 John 5:14-15. This is a confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. One thing with our three kids, Cheryl and I always had a concern. Who are these three going to marry? Anybody ever have that concern in your lives? And we prayed to God often to put someone in there, in their lives, that was going to be a perfect fit and that would be close to God. Our family has been very blessed. I can talk about Amy since she's here. But Brian and Amy are the perfect couple for one another. And with our other two kids, they have done exceedingly well as well. And I think it's because of prayers that we said for them during the time they were dating and the time that they were being engaged and so forth. We have been very blessed as a family. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's face it, prayer is a mystery in many ways. Prayer often surprises us. Just as we think we have it figured out, something new and different emerges. And when we think we're praying for the right thing, it turns around and we're going in a totally different direction. Before Cheryl and I went up to Alaska, Cheryl had been accepted at Bethany Seminary. The next fall, she would have started her MDiv. But then I go and do this interview with these people at Alaska, and the next thing she knows, she's flying on a plane to Alakanuk, whatever that is. And sometimes your prayers just start going off in one direction, and they curve, and they go in another. And that's not a bad thing. We had an interesting experience for 4 years. And we came back at a couple of years, and then we got our TRIM degree. And here we are then as your interim pastors. Interesting how things work with God. Therefore, you know what? We find out a lot about ourselves and others through prayer. And I look forward to hearing about how your lives have been changed with prayer. Lincolnshire is a praying church. There's no doubt about that. Lives have been changed by your prayers. We have seen that, even the short time we've been here. But my question right now is, how has your life changed by the act of praying for others? Remember always the prayer that we prayed for one another, as the Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. And it states, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God." So let me in turn pray over you in closing, continuing Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. Let us bow our heads in prayer. "Now to whom who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen."